Mojave, which is a desert in California. So it kind of creates an impression of vast open spaces with treeless mountains and sand as far as the eye can see. The only vegetation, a few scrubby little shrubs. It's also reminiscent of cowboy films, westerns. It goes something like this. It's in the key of E minor. So, how to play the Mojave, or the Mojave, how do you say it? I don't know. Peter Nuttall's written quite a lot of good guitar pieces that are not that difficult to play. It sounds very impressive, but it's not really that hard. So now, we've got an E minor chord, a full E minor chord. It's one of the easiest and best chords on the guitar. That's what it sounds like. You should have your second finger on B on the second fret of the fifth string and the third finger on E. Pretty obvious where that must be. And for the first bar, we just keep the left hand completely still, well, halfway through the first bar anyway. But then immediately you have to remove the third finger to play the open D, and then you have to put it back on again. So you've got to be a bit nifty there with the left hand movements. Quite an interesting rhythm, this. A lot of the pairs of quavers are slightly altered from just basic quavers to this, what you can see, a dotted quaver followed by another note with a little kind of brackety bit added to the main beam that connects it to the previous note. That note is called a semi-quaver, twice as quick as a quaver. So if you have imagine a series of quavers, like on the end of the fourth line, you see four quavers all connected, one, two, three, four. So they would just go with an even rhythm, dud, 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 like a horse trotting. So even ordinary quavers, pairs of quavers or groups of four quavers or even individual quavers, they just sound, as I say, like a horse trotting. But the dotted quaver and the semi-quaver that we see, namely the second pair of notes in the whole piece, and there are many other occurrences in this of the dotted quaver and semi-quaver, that's more like a horse galloping. Okay, so that's a good way to think of it. So here we go again with the first bar. So the only thing I did with the left hand there was to temporarily remove it to play the open D and then quickly put it back on again. And the second bar, you may think, oh, I've heard this tune somewhere before. Yeah, you have. It's the first bar because it's the same tune but moved an octave higher. Notice the open E in the bass. What a big difference that makes. Hear how it rings on underneath, and you've got to make sure that does ring on. You don't shut it up like this. Much more boring. That's much more powerful. And now we've got the same tune again. The last bar of that line is exactly the same as the first. So nothing to tell you there. Onto the second line now, and we see what's happening. The tune begins to develop to be a little bit longer. Now there's an interesting technique here in that first bar of the second line, where you see the little curvy line that joins underneath the two semi-quavers there. That means the curvy line is called a slur, and you execute it on the guitar by doing what we call a pull-off or snap, where you pluck the first string, but the first note of those pair, You pluck the first note of those two semiquavers with the thumb. The next note is not played with the right hand, it's played by plucking the string with the left hand, with the second finger that's already sitting on the B, like that. And that's immediately quickly followed with the G in the bass. So this is a tricky moment. You've got to do your snap and then immediately play G. It'll take some slow practice to get that any good. Try it like this. I'm getting a slightly twangy tone in the bass here. That's generally frowned upon in exams, but it may be effective in this particular piece because it needs to have a kind of earthy, sort of wild quality to it, I guess. At the end of that second line, we see a different chord. It's only a one-fingered chord. It's a very simple chord, known as A minor 7. You don't particularly need to remember that, but you do need to realize that these chords, which we have a lot of, are all E minor. So we've got one of them now at the beginning of the third line. That's an E minor chord also. And then we've got an extended sort of tune in the bass. This is all about bass, isn't it, this piece? It's nearly all the case that the tune part is in the lower octave, the very much lower octave, the bass notes. So here we've got this. This is the whole of the third line now. This is a bit on the slow side for the exam, but it's good sort of tempo for you to be practicing it at. Or even slower. You'll need to practice it very slowly at first, of course. Now we're going right up into the gods, into the high octave. This note, bet you don't know what it is. Well, it's B, the seventh fret of the first string, and straight after B comes the A. And then a G. Now, I suggest you play that G with the fourth finger on the eighth fret of the second string, because it's fairly close. You'll have to do that with the fourth finger, yeah? Because it's the only one convenient to do that. And be ready with your first finger still on the note A, which follows after it. So B, A, G, A, and then open E. And that pesky bass comes back in. A couple of quavers, bass E. Notice how the bass E is easy to recognise, as since it has these three lines, which make it look a little bit like a capital E with the line, the stroke of the pen that's vertical is missing, I know, but you've got three strokes of the pen which replicate what you get when you see a capital E, so that might help remind you that this note is indeed E, the lowest note we can normally play on the guitar. And I say that because sometimes people tune their E string down to D and make it even lower. Right, moving on, I'm going to play the whole of the fourth line. This is a tricky moment, because you've got to be really quick to go B, A, then with the pinky play this G, and then the A again immediately. And then after that, open E immediately. So you've got to have your wits about you to make that happen. See, I messed it up. Easy to do. There we go. If you find that really difficult, there are other ways you could finger it, like you could do it all on the first string with the third finger. It's an awful lot of whizzing about with the third finger though. You might do 3-1 and then maybe slide the first finger to G on the first string, I don't know. You need to experiment a bit and try different ways of doing it and see what suits you. Right. And now the next bar, then. Well, I was going to play the whole of the fourth line, so I'll just do that. Now, there's something you'll really enjoy doing here. When you play the G on the third fret of the first string, you can do this. push the string upwards and get that kind of in-between note that we hear so much in rock guitar. Kind of bending the string and making a note that we don't know what to call because it's in between G and A, or G and G sharp rather. So I'm going to play that line once again now in its entirety. Is probably about right for this. I've been playing it rather hastily up to now. I think it can be slowed down quite a lot. So we're now on the fifth line on that high B again. Now the last line. And then a full E minor chord at the end. Right, it's going to take quite a bit of work to learn all that, and I think, as I've just hinted, that it shouldn't be rushed, so I'm just going to play it through again at what I consider would be a good tempo for you to do, or work towards. You won't be able to do it until you've done quite a bit of practice on the tricky bits, so something like this. Somewhere, I think it was the last bar of the fourth line, so I'll just do from the fourth line again.